you've got to know your niche and you've got to dictate where you're going. You know, like you've got to be so confident of what your niche is. Like in the early days, there were many ways that we could have been swayed, like, oh, you should go into frozen or whatever. But I think understanding your product and the importance of it in the marketplace is super, super important because it gives you that razor focus.
Welcome to the Charting Her Course podcast, brought to you by the Pacific Coast Business Times. This podcast will give an inside look at women who own and run small businesses on California's Central Coast. I'm your host, Veronica Kuzmuk, and I'm so excited to put a spotlight on these fascinating businesses in San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and Ventura counties. This podcast would not be possible without our sponsor, Bank of America. More from them a little later.
Jean David is the founder and CEO of Outer Isle, a keto-friendly and low-carb cauliflower bread sweeping grocery stores across the nation. Since its founding in 2013, Outer Isle has now been featured in outlets like The Food Network and Forbes, as well as Pacific Coast Business Times' number one fastest-growing company in 2020. Listen as Jean talks about launching a company ahead of its trend, working with family, and how she practices gratitude in the midst of an expanding business. Please enjoy this talk with Jean David. Welcome, Jean. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I'm really excited to talk to you. What has been your career path leading up to now?
Well, my career path, I will say, I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. Leading up to this point, I was previously in business like for the last 15 years. I had sold a company or launched a cookie dough company back in the South. And then really went on to just kind of corporate stuff and made a decision to completely just like just get a job and something be consistent instead of entrepreneuring. I just really didn't have the luxury at that time. And I call that a luxury because it really is a gift to be able to pursue your entrepreneur goals, especially in the beginning, you know. So most recently, I was executive director at the Arthritis Foundation here in Santa Barbara for the Central Coast region. That particular job really honed kind of my entrepreneur skills and the corporate world because it was like running my own business.
From there, how do you launch into Outer Isle?
So I just felt like it was a transition time for me. And I looked at it as I was 50 at the time. I was like, this is amazing. The next 15 years of my life, my kids are all grown, all in their career paths. I really wanted to mix what my skills and talents were in a job instead of just looking at jobs that were available and taking a job, you know, and thank goodness I had a very supportive husband. I have a very supportive husband who was like, you know, just take your time and make sure it's the right fit. Do you know, don't stress about it or whatever. And that was truly a gift and a luxury. We had done a diet shift and in our own personal life and taken out all empty carbs in our diet in a goal to get healthier. And we just noticed what a huge difference it made for us. And so we were just doing this lifestyle and food. I've always been, I've always been interested in food and health and kind of a health enthusiast. I was a personal trainer background too. So we had taken bread out of our diet, and certainly we're not eating pizza or lasagna or anything remotely familiar to that. And we were just doing protein, fruits, and vegetables. So that is what the diet shift was, but we were quite bored with that. And so cauliflower crust started being seen out there on Pinterest. And that's kind of what sparked my interest, is like, wow, but if I could get this in bread form, I really do think people, this would be amazing, because I knew how revolutionary it would be in my diet and in my life. Like if I could have a turkey sandwich, but actually be eating turkey and two servings of vegetables, no bread at all, with no carb impact, no empty calories per se, because they're all nutrient dense calories, that would be amazing. And I thought that would be something that consumers would be interested in.
You change your diet and then you have this idea and you see that it's, you know, some of the recipes are on Pinterest. How were those first recipes? And like, how did you figure out how to get it to the way that you wanted it to?
It started as a family project is what we called it. The file actually is still on my desktop called Family Project. So we have four sons. We said, let's bring them all in and let's do this from concept to market. Let them come in and learn. We thought that would be really valuable to do. So literally we had conference calls set up for every Thursday, and I would meanwhile be doing the R&D at our house, morphing the recipe, changing the recipe. At that point we were very focused on there were two or three of us that were personal trainers. So we were all really focused on the clean label and the nutrition panel. So we wanted a product that we would love to be eating out there. And we're certainly just eating clean whole ingredients basically. So we were really excited about the thought of having a product on the market that we could be the best consumers of. We started selling to a group of friends. And so it was very interesting because nobody was doing that at all. It was so weird. I mean, I think people really thought I was crazy. So it's just a process. And we continued to go with knowing the goal was to bring it to market and to commercial. It was always for a national product. It was never for, oh, let's sell it at the local farmers market. I mean, we had specific goals from the beginning.
So how did you fund, you know, from the beginning, this endeavor?
Well, from the beginning, it was super easy. It was not, you know, we just used our own money and we were in our own house. But then once we were ready to sell beyond our R&D group, we had a product launch party. And we had two friends come up to us and say, I want to invest. Will you take investment money? And at that time, we were really not even ready to do that. I think we had done a Kickstarter campaign I think it was Kickstarter at that point that didn't take off. But they gave us, you know, our initial investors gave us $150,000. So at that time, that was a lot of money. We valued it at $1 million at that point. And so they gave us $150,000 and we were pre-market. But Whole Foods had found us. The forager at Whole Foods had found us. And so we were fortunate enough that she found us, discovered our product before we were actually ready for the market. So we worked with her to finalize our packaging and work on the price point and SRP and to launch it into the retail store. So we launched in the Whole Foods Forager program locally in four stores.
Wow. So what would you say, you know, in the beginning or those initial years, what was like the biggest surprise or like that you learned that you didn't know before?
It's really that You've got to know your niche and you've got to dictate where you're going. You know, like you've got to be so confident of what your niche is. Like in the early days, there were many ways that we could have been swayed, like, oh, you should go into frozen or whatever. But I think understanding your product and the importance of it in the marketplace is super, super important because it gives you that razor focus that allows you to go, no, but it's not that. They're good and clean ingredients, but they're full of carbs and our customers would never want those carbs. You know what I mean? Always defining because we created a new category. This category didn't exist. So really being true to where you know you're, and it's hard at the beginning, right? You're just a product and you want to sell in the stores, but understanding your niche is super important early on and never straying from that niche, being confident enough to go, no, we want to be in refrigerated and not frozen. And this is why. And yeah. So,
you know, in 7 years, you're the number one fastest growing company in the region, which is so amazing. Like that's amazing story. How has it been to navigate the financial process since you've grown so much?
Yeah, it has been very interesting. So while we were formed 7 years ago, we actually launched into the market 5 years ago. We're in our first four Whole Foods for that year. And in 2016, we got our first region of Whole Foods. So, So we had our we took in our first little investors, and then we went out and took in more investors, basically all friends and family, people that we knew that we didn't really know. We didn't think we knew anybody interested in investing when we started, but they just come along the way. You know, but we took investment in. We tried not to leverage the company too much. We knew that we would much rather take in investors at that time and not have the heavy burden of debt on the company that can be very overwhelming when you're scaling, because you need a lot of capital for growing. I mean, that's its own beast, is funding your growth. So we did all friends and family. Then last year we built out a 37,000 square foot facility. We outgrew our facility in Goleta within 2 years, and we had projected to outgrow that this year. So in 2018 we began seeing we would outgrow that, and so we went to raise funds from venture capital firms and ended up with an individual. And kind of walked away from three venture firms and deals, you know, because we just weren't comfortable with the covenants and the terms. So we ended up with an individual, and that's where we are today. But funding the company, it's always a balance. I mean, it's very complex now as you grow. I mean, it feels complex when you're little too, because it's still complicated for where you are. But I would say there's always money out there for that people are willing to invest in concept, and especially now in food and CPG. It's a thriving market with lots of upside potential. So yeah.
So you kind of touched on this earlier, but how did you market your product in the early days? And then how has that shifted or maybe stayed the same now?
So we knew what we wanted to convey to customers, what those key messages were, but they have morphed, because as the consumer and the trends morph. So when we launched, paleo was not even a thing. Paleo had not happened. Keto had not happened. You know, none of those food tribes had launched. And so gluten-free was happening. And so gluten-free was an important call out at that point. But as we moved, we knew we wanted to move beyond gluten-free. Gluten-free was a big advantage. But for us, that was just a basic requirement. We definitely didn't want gluten in our product, because we were going to always have vegetables in our product, and they would be the base. So of course we'd be gluten-free. That's like gluten-free naturally is what we used to claim in the beginning, you know, because you had what was going on out there in the marketplace was gluten-free. While it came in, it filled products full of filler flours that were just exchanges for the gluten. So while yes, they didn't have gluten, they still had all the carbs. So we knew that was not where our market was. We wanted the low carb, low sugar, low glycemic market, and have continued to morph and focus as the consumers move to that. We were a little ahead of our trend, but we knew we call it what we believe is the tsunami off the shore, you know, that still has not even crested, is the low glycemic, low carb, nutrient dense products, getting back to whole food ingredients. So that's what we've done along, like if you look at our packaging now, we had a refresh last year. We're now calling out keto friendly. We're paleo friendly. We're not paleo because we have Parmesan cheese in our product. So, but always, I mean, you kind of refresh, according to what consumers are. The food tribes are constantly dictating who you market to. I mean, we believe there's an overarching trend that's above and beyond the food tribes coming and going, by the paleo people, the keto people, and that's what I talk about, the Weight Watchers, all of those kind of, to me, are under a bigger umbrella of low glycemic, low cal, nutrient dense, plant-based, and that's kind of how we see it. And so we'll continue to play to that as it continues to grow closer to our, what we can really claim on the nose, you know, the low glycemic.
Who came up with the name Outer Isle?
Yeah, that was a wild thing. I mean, we were at deadline for a name that could be trademarked, and we had all kind of crazy names before that. And all of them, we'd go through the exercise, we'd try to come up with a name. And in the healthy space, everything we came up with had been trademarked, and we were committed to making sure our name was trademarked and trademarkable. And so, yeah, one day, you know, we were at deadline and my husband was kind of doing the task of the mnemonics, going through the alphabet and doing the deal the way he did. And he just closed the computer and just said, okay, we need a name. He prayed and just like, I just need some inspiration here, you know, and that popped into his head. And so he opens up his computer immediately, does a trademark check, and it was available. And he was like, oh my gosh, we're getting it, you know? So, and of course that was a little ahead of the time too, because people didn't quite understand Outer Isle concept. Like people were beginning to talk, if you want to eat healthy, shop the outer aisle of the grocery store, but it wasn't a known term, you know, but it became more popular as we advance. So yeah.
It's so cool.
Find inspiration. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that you guys are just like, you're visionaries. You see these, you saw the trend, you got the name right. Like you're ahead of your time. It's very, very cool.
Thank you so much.
And now a word from our sponsor. Bank of America asked Central Coast businesses, what would you like the power to do? Listening to your answer is how we learn about what matters most and help you achieve your goals. That's why we've lent over $500 million to Ventura, Santa Barbara, and San Luis Obispo counties' small, mid-size, and commercial businesses. Because we don't just work here, we live here.
So you mentioned too, you guys are a family-run company at this point, right?
Yeah.
Mostly family-run.
Yeah.
So talk about the best part of working with family and then maybe like the complicated part of working with family.
Yeah. The best part of working with family is you trust each other implicitly, you know, they've got your back, you know, they've always got the company's best interest at heart. The complicated part of is turning business off and really being family. We found in the early years, we could never turn business off. And so anytime, I mean, it was night and day and weekend and, you know, but it's kind of the focus it takes. It's all consuming when you're starting a company. And it's kind of like your brain's constantly thinking of everything and you're needing to talk to somebody about it. And your family is the one who really knows because they started it with you. So we, you know, then we kind of morphed into, look, we got to put some boundaries in place so we can just be family again and not all business and not always talking about business. And so we started putting some structure in place and it is complicated because you kind of have to take off your family hat. And when you're at the office with other people, always treat each other respectfully, not, you know, not casually as mom, son, or mom, husband, and make people feel strange or weird about, you know, hey, honey, you know, so we try to be as best professional. But yeah, it is definitely a family. And the good thing about that is it's family. I mean, people feel it that come into the company, they feel like they're part of the family, you know, they're attracted to that. It is very much, I've always been a mom, you know, so that does come out with our employees. I interact with them and connect with them a lot as in a family, you know. So we think that's a good thing and we try to keep it fun and not dysfunctional.
What would you say your company values the most?
We have, you know, some strong company values. I would say family and integrity are up at the top of them most. Serving others is right up there as well. And it's part of how we lead and how we treat each other and how we as leaders think of our employees. We really look at it as servant leadership and how we can, you know, create a platform from early on. I said I'd love to create a company where our young people can launch their lives. So come in and maybe that person you know, had not gotten much traction before in other things, but has a serious work ethic and will work like no one other to on whatever it is, just, you know, hungry young people that want to make something out of themselves. And it's been really, really fun to see that aspect of people coming in and joining early on. And now they're part of our big management team and leading the company, and, you know, and it's that's been wonderful to see.
So Viana popped in with a question, and she wants to know, what motivates you to keep going?
What motivates me to keep going is I feel like we've just begun scratching the surface. So very mission motivated that our products, we really believe our products transform people's lives, have the ability to transform people's lives. Like, I mean, I get an email from a customer who's a diabetic, and they say, I can eat a sandwich at lunch and not take an insulin shot. So for us, that's huge. I mean, that is transformative. That is transforming the world as we know it, right? If diabetics can be less dependent on insulin and use food to manage that, you know, I mean, that's our big win, and that's what we're passionate about. So that's what keeps me going, the mission of our products and our people, and showing up every day to, again, to serve them and to be a good leader and to be positive and to be a positive influence in their lives. One of the favorite things that I like to do of my week is walk around and do, I call it a gratitude walk, where I go into everybody's, kind of like sit at the door and go, okay, so, hey, what are you grateful for today? You know, and it's really been a very powerful, a powerful exercise on many, many fronts, because for one, it allows us to focus on what you're grateful for, but you begin seeing how people's perspective begins to change when they focus on gratitudes and what they're grateful for. You know, we have an engineer who's a great guy, he's an engineer, right? He's very practical. And, you know, and so when I'd come in the past and go, hey, Jerry, what are you grateful for today? It would like go, oh, I don't know. It would throw him off. And then as we progress, and he knew that, you know, this is part of what we do, he said, you know, coming in the parking lot this morning, I was thinking about what I'm grateful for, you know, like, so you see that it was beginning to evolve, you know, and change his thought processes, which is really just fun to see. So, and you get to understand where people are, you know, grateful. One of our employees said one time, I'm grateful that my dad's doing better. You know, it was a rough weekend, you know, and so that gives me an insight. And then I can really empathize and go, oh, wow, I didn't realize your dad's sick. That's tough. What's going on? You know, and do you want to share more? So it's really a powerful tool that allows you to kind of tap into their world and connect with them. And again, serve them in a bigger way that they don't always know what's going on, but it's really transforming them just by that practice. So
who are your mentors?
My mentors are currently, right now, there's some business advisors that have grown companies, CEOs that have scaled companies to 500 million and exited. And, you know, they're actively mentors. And both of them have started companies. And, well, one entered into a family as a CEO. And so I think he's got a unique perspective for me, because he came into the family business and then grew it. And the other one was part of, you know, an entity, grew it and sold, and now he's doing it again. So, so those are my current mentors, in business. I mean, you know, I would say I have, you know, people I look up to and in running that spur me on, and mentors there, and running partners that I partner with, and then spiritually as well. So, yeah, business wise, I have two really great mentors right now.
What do you see for the future for Outer Isle in the next 5 years?
Oh, wow. It's, yeah, we have some big, big visions that, we'll finally be able to release some of our new innovations. We've been growing at such a rapid pace that we couldn't bring out our innovations because we were at capacity in our other facility. So looking forward to releasing our innovations and some new products, which we're excited about.
Where do you find your inspiration?
I would say podcasts and listening to successful CEOs and more probably founders. Also, I think founders who launch companies and specifically CPG companies, because that's where I am, but they come up with products and bring them to the market, I think are a unique, unique inspiration for me personally. So that love reading books, always getting inspired from, you know, the books and the podcast.
What type of leader would you say you are?
I would say servant leader. I like to think of myself in that way. I mean, that's my goal, is always pouring into my people and how can I be a better leader for them and how can I serve them and help them reach their goals.
I probably should have asked you this in the beginning now that I think about it, but where can people find your products right now locally?
Locally, we're at a lot of places. So we're at Sprouts now, Whole Foods. So Whole Foods, Sprouts, Bristol Farms, Gelson's, Lazy Acres. We will soon be in Vons. So yeah, and you can always go onto our website, www.adderallgourmet.com, and put in your zip code and it'll tell you exactly the closest stores.
What is your favorite thing that you make using Outer Isle products?
I would say the OAG lasagna.
Okay, so last question, which is also my favorite question. If you could go back knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
I would say trust yourself and your gut instinct. So I would say trust yourself and your gut instinct usually are correct. I would also say don't sweat the small stuff and it always works out, and you know, just less stress and, you know, and more faith that it's going to work out.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Jean, so much. I really enjoyed talking with you today and hearing all about your journey. I'm definitely going to go to my Sprouts now and buy some products I want to try.
Good. Yay.
This was Charting Her Course, a Pacific Coast Business Times podcast. The Pacific Coast Business Times is the weekly business journal for the Central Coast with digital and print editions, as well as can't-miss events. For more on the Business Times and to subscribe, please visit our website at pacbiztimes.com. A huge thank you again to our sponsor, Bank of America. We're so appreciative of their support. Bank of America is committed to responsible growth for the clients and communities it serves by listening as they answer the question, what would you like the power to do? If you enjoyed this podcast, and I sure hope you did, please share with your colleagues, family, friends, and anyone else who might listen. We can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you stream podcasts. Please also subscribe, rate, and review. For more info on this podcast, please visit pacbiztimes.com under Charting Her Course. We are also on Instagram at Charting Her Course. Give us a follow. We'd love to hear suggestions on future guests as well. This podcast is developed and produced by Linda LeBrock and me, Veronica Kuzmuk. Associate producer, editor, and provider of emotional support, all done by Vianna Mabonig. Our gorgeous artwork was done by Corey Iniguez of Dandelion Designs. Check out her website at dandeliondesigns.com. Our very cool theme music was created by Nicholas LeBrock. Thank you, Nicholas. And a special thanks to Impact Hub in downtown Santa Barbara, where this podcast is recorded. Lastly, we're all out charting our own courses in business and in life. So while we're out there, let's wave and say hi to each other. We're in this together.